we have a point A and point B, and we can reach from point A to point B in an instant. Okay. And I was like, won't it kind of defy some physics law and those things? He said, yes, it will. So I said, because it should be that maximum speed we can achieve is via speed of light, right? So I said, you cannot defy the physics law, okay? And it's not like philosophical ki thought goes from point A to point B. He said, no, material will pass from point A to, like, it will go from point A to point B in an instant. So I said, are you speaking about wormhole or something like that? So he said, something like that, but in a way where we don't have to create that wormhole. Okay. He said something by which we will just go from point A to point B. Now I was curious, because this is something which he's getting a thought, and what was the kind of cause of that thought? I was interested in that. Okay. And he's a lot philosophical into nature. So he's a fellow PhD student. And so this Bombay. Kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Because there was a kind of that in IIT Madras as well. A very philosophical guy. I remember that.
There are a lot of philosophical guys. Yeah, a lot of them. We kind of talk. If some outside person come and just hear what we talk about, they will like, see, no, they are gone case. So the point being that he was defying physics, and in a way that, so there's something. So we have seen a lot of Star Wars movies, right? In which the ship goes into a warp drive. Okay.
No, so there but are, please go on. Audience might have.
Yeah. So in Star Wars or any Star Trek movie, you will see that there is something called warp drive. And you just, from point A to point B, your machine kind of behaves such a way. So one way is to create a wormhole in front and then go inside it and then end where, from point A to point B. Like it's like the classic example of puncturing the page and going inside it. Have you seen Interstellar, in which he explains?
Yeah, I know. Will say that A, B, and then touch A.
That thing. The second thing is, it's like everything is about waves. All right. And if you can move that wave, can you can move the space. So that was his thought. So it's like very deep
thought. If you can move the wave, you can move the space.
It's like in a string, okay? In a string, it's just a set of particles connected together. But there's a concept of standing wave and traveling wave. Okay? Traveling wave is in which it looks like the string is static. But in traveling wave, it looks like that wave in the string is moving from point A to point B. Okay? So his point being ki we can make the reality as a traveling wave. So that there comes one more speed now, and that speed can be extended. It can be more than the speed of light. So it has very nice thought into it. So it explains the theory of relativity in a very good sense, and kind of validate that thing ki we cannot go above the speed of light. So that was a nice thought actually.
Yeah, if you like.
Then we contacted here a physics professor, and he was too much skeptical about it, because obviously he has more knowledge than us. But he also then said ki this is very gray area to work upon, and that was our, like, that was the thing in which we wanted to go, right? Because if we couldn't prove something, there is an opportunity here.
That's why people do PhD. That's the question that we started with, right? Why do people do PhD? Because you will be actually working with things which are not discovered. That's what you are.
I will just give you one more instance. Marvel movie, Avenger, where they have to do the time heist. Okay. And then there was a scene where Iron Man was looking at the Mobius strip. Okay. And he was calculating the eigenvalues. Right. So actually, if people think about it, if you can make an optimization path between that reality, and it will come into a matrix. And whatever the eigenvalues of the matrix will be, that will be our stability criteria. Okay, now I'm going too much into the research side. But
that's good.
It is possible. This is possible. Mm-hmm. I'm looking like a mad scientist right now.
No, you're not, man. You got to stop thinking about that. Because, like I said, you might be so smart that people don't understand you. That does not mean you should become dumb.
Not only my thought, it's like our discussion goes into that way. what are we discussing?
Yeah, but that's the thing that I like about you, is that you are that kind of person who should pursue a PhD and do research, because you think about these things, right? People who are not, like, PhD itself is a big filter, because you always have an opportunity to drop it. So many people drop it like half the way, right? But those are the kind of people which I've observed as well with other people who keep on doing PhDs, people who ask a lot of questions at everything.
Yes.
People who are not afraid to fail, even though if it is going to take like 6 months of research doing the same like basic stuff, which someone would say, oh, I did that in high school, what are you doing that in PhD? But yeah, you were 18 when you were in high school, and now I have a bachelor's degree and a world of information. So I'm trying to just find a better way to do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of that relativity and all, the whole idea of what Einstein started with is the speed of light is constant, right? That's like the biggest constant of this world. There's only one independent variable, and that is time. And the place where people cannot wrap their heads around is that space bends, because to us who live in three dimension, and we walk and move, even the fastest car goes only a fraction of speed of light. To us it might not be that believable, but space bends. And you can see that easily. I think there was a giant canvas on which they tried to put a ball, and the canvas bends. And that's how you explain what Einstein tried to explain 100 years ago. And they're finally trying to, like, they're now reproofing what he already said. They're now using computers to prove what he said like 100 years ago. And the same goes with, I think, the idea of wormhole. That if you can bend the space enough, it is actually closer in one way. And that's what happens when, for example, since you are a DC fan, there's a guy called Flash, right? And he moves so fast that the space bends, I think. Because I'm a Naruto fan, yes. And I'm pretty sure you have watched Naruto too, right?
He travel more than the speed of light. So that's the thing. That's why he can
manipulate time. He's past or future or something, right?
Yeah. So he can go at any time, actually. If you have control over that speed, so you can do anything, pretty much anything. So that was his point. But obviously, if you change something into the past, then there is a huge problem. So that was the main... Actually, there was a flashpoint. Actually, movie is coming right now. But animated series had already been done. And in which Flash wanted to protect his mother, because that was the thing which he wanted to have. Because his childhood, adolescence, his mother kind of, she was murdered. Okay. And that's why he wanted to protect her. So he went into the past just by the... So here comes the belief. His belief was so strong that he passed all the physics, and then he came into the... that point, and then he protected his mother. And then what happened, that the future break apart, and that was the main point of the movie.
What do you mean break apart? Everything. Like, there's no future.
I won't spoil the movie then.
Oh, you don't? You won't? Yeah, you should not. Spoiler. Actually.
Spoiler. Okay.
Yeah.
So you said about the difference between what Einstein had given then and what we are proving now. It's about the theoretical and practical, so theoretical and experimental difference. Whatever we are doing in papers, or whatever theory we are making, for example, I'm someone who is work into the theoretical domain, but the person who is working into the experimental domain, they have little bit less kind of thing, because a theory, you can just put everything into the numbers, into mathematics, and then you can solve this mathematics. But converting that numbers into reality is like huge task. Okay. So that experimentation, it takes huge effort in all the direction, because everything is connected, and you cannot just say, ki, I will isolate the system and then do this and that. You have to actually isolate the system. it's a huge task of its own. For example, the Hyperloop pod. Like, you have to make a system by which that pod is into a vacuum. Now, creating that vacuum is a huge task upon which companies are made. So, here comes the difference between what Einstein had given and then proving that thing.
What are your plans in the future? Like, hold on.
My plans are... plans are... I want to keep on working into the creativity.
Like, where do you see yourself 10 to 15 years later? Might not be professor. Following exactly. Professor?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to, like...
I really wanted to become professor.
Those, like, Nobel Prize and stuff, man. I just want
actually,
bring this up 50 years later. Aren't you and
I just wanted to be this thing. I want to be just this thing.
Oh, okay.
When we're taking
those are the kind of people who win Nobel Prizes, man. Those who don't wanna.
So, very bright thing that wins the Nobel Prize.
Okay.
I just wanted to be this.
You know, back when we were in college, I used to watch all of those documentaries on Einstein and Newton and Tesla, and I watched that movie Beautiful Mind, and I was like, I'm gonna win a Nobel Prize, man. Awesome. And then 3 years into research, I'm like, nah, there's no way. There's no way I'm gonna win.
It has a huge learning curve into it. So it's like it goes like this, like a lot of time is wasted upon that, and then it increases exponentially to the point where you can pursue something. So here comes the point of opportunities. If you are opportunate enough and you have up that platform. So why I say I wanted to become a professor, because then I will So then I will have a huge opportunity to do whatever I can. Like, my mind will just run free. But to achieve that, I have to first look into it, take what, how the research is done. So hence, like, here come the point where advisors, kind of the professor, like, who is guiding you, the guide, he guides you into that, ki how the research is done. And once you have amassed all the resources which is needed to do research, and you have opportunities also, so you actually become professor somewhere. It's not like just calling yourself professor and you don't teach anything, you are not part of an institute, so that becomes the problem. So first of all, you have to be at that platform, which is like not that good, because actually here come one more thing, which is called it's now again into a competitive environment. So still, because what I thought ki when I will go for PhD, the competition will lose itself, okay. And then when I will go for postdoc, the competition will again lose itself. But to just my surprise, it's just getting harder and harder. So because now
Where's the competition when you're doing PhD? Because PhD is pretty individualistic. You're not really competing with anyone, right?
Because the opportunities are very less. Because as we what go the higher the scale of...
What are the
for example, let's say a postdoc opportunity.
Oh, okay, so I get
to have
point.
A postdoc opportunity, you have to know about a lab which work the same thing which what you do, and that is a challenge of its
That's
own
very difficult.
Because you are doing something which is new.
I think the only person who can help you in that is your advisor, who knows more people working in the domain,
actually,
right?
That's why it's a closed community of itself, the academic.
No, I do want to get into it, because if you do a PhD from India, what next? Because I've seen so many people in US who has done their PhD in India, and then they are doing their postdoc in US or in some other country, European countries.
Postdoc should be from abroad. If not from India, it should be from abroad.
Because, if you want to be a professor in India, is that what you're saying? In IITs?
So it's like this, ki, you have been PhD student in India, means that you didn't have a outside exposure, okay. And when you take the opportunities in India, let's say old IITs or new IITs or IITs in general, if you wanted to become professor there, what happens that they will look for the things which will be just out of the box, okay, either your research or if you have a exposure from outside, or now it had changed. Now they also see how the teaching skills are. So that is a very beautiful thing. They did take care of everything. So it's a huge process. If somebody wanted to become an assistant professor, so there are a lot of interviews. First, it is a department level interview. Then it becomes an institute level interview. And in that, everything is checked. And then 1 year is there, probation period, in which they are just tested out. And once that is done, then he becomes the assistant professor, central government character, which again, like, you have to just carry on the grants and then do the research. And then it becomes a stable life. What I think, but again, when I will reach at that point, it will change.
More competition, right? But you see, that's what, as far as what I've seen right now for close to 6 months in US, is that there's not really that much competition amongst PhD outside. Candidates in US. Yeah. So
that's the thing. Opportunities are there more because there actually the research part is going on. And in India, we are just growing into something which is more into the research oriented. So in IIT Madras, you remember we had a research park.
Yeah.
A big building, I would show that that is a research park. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, IIT Bombay, we are just making one. So it's like we are growing into that stage where industries and research and academic institute will work in a conjunction. So it will be a sync in its own, which US has already established in, I think, 40s, 50s only.
Oh, no. Not academic. It is like before World War One.
No, it is.
It's like industrial revolution.
In World Wars only. In World Wars only, what happened that academic institutions were part of that thing, to part of the technology. In India also, it was a part of the technology. Like the military always work in conjunction with the academic professors. If you would know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So all the professors, they have some secret projects going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
not all.
I don't think so.
Some not all.
Government a agent lot. Will come and. Okay.
You're safe, man. You're in a democratic country. So far, so
yeah, so some kind of project they are going on and professors are working into it. Okay, so that is the where industry meets the academician. But in general, if you will see as a research, so if you will take an industry, like a separate industry of its own, and if you see, they have a lot of challenges, and to solve the challenges you need someone who just think out of the box. Okay, so here come the professor, the work of the professor. So the professor has a lot of duties. so
that's what I was getting at. Like, I want to know, doing PhD in India, what are the opportunities? What career are you looking? Because people who do PhD in US, a huge chunk of them go to industry. Like, they get the most well-paying jobs. I won't say the most. Kind of the master student also gets similar paying job, but PhD is more focused. But a huge portion of them go for direct jobs, and so much so that some of them actually get job in between their PhD and they just leave their PhD because they have made enough connections. Other than that, a lot of them do go for PhD. Postdoc. Like, if you're getting a postdoc from Stanford, MIT, why wouldn't you go? They pay very well. And it's a even better exposure, which gives you even a better career, right? But what are you looking at after your PhD other than postdoc? Is there any opportunity for jobs? Just say yes or no.
Okay, so I am looking for opportunities mainly. So if, let's say, I get something which interests me, which is obviously, it should be aligned to what I am doing. Because that is the thing which I have worked upon from past. Like, let's say I have devoted 5 years into my research and I do something out of that thing, that my mind won't take it because I wanted to work upon whatever I build up upon now. So anything which aligns with my ideology, as well as which aligns, and there should be opportunity. So I'm looking for the opportunity which aligns with my interests. So that is the thing which I am hoping for.
So that is what, like, I want to get into. Like, is there a possibility for you to get a very well-paying job after your PhD in India? Like, options other than postdoc. See, saying that postdoc is my only option is saying that PhD students or PhD candidates or PhDs do not get anything in India, because postdoc, as you said, you have to go abroad, right? So what is the opportunity for PhDs in India? Because what I'm getting at is PhDs are the smartest brains of the country, right? They are the most educated brains. If the only option they have is to go for postdoc abroad, then what is the country doing to keep the brain inside, right?
So let me get emphasis on what postdoc is. So postdoc is, first of all, it's a job, okay? So yeah. What PhD is, like, the thing which you can amass the knowledge about, all right? So it's a final frontier in which the student is called a student. And once he's out of that, like, he has done his defending thing, he becomes a person who cannot study now, like who cannot be kind of part of a institute where he's called a student. He's not called a student now. Working professional. Yeah. And now here comes, like, whatever postdoc is just a term to explain that he's a researcher and he's a working professional. Okay, so just terming as a postdoc, it doesn't mean that he could be just lab assistant or something. So it's a working professional who is working into the field where his field is required. So any PhD who is getting out of
I think what you're getting at is that postdoc is also a job, right? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Yes.
So looking at the opportunities which...
Mm-hmm.
Because the opportunities are not fixed. Your PhD is not fixed. Your PhD ideas varies from point A to point B. And very gradually, but you started with something, but you ended with something, and that something which you ended, that had to be continued in some other institute. So that is called where you are working. So here, so what generally people do, they apply everywhere, okay?
And then, like, they, everywhere meaning whatever, what all colleges, every mean, all abroad.
Yeah, and as the India? Opportunity comes in. Yeah, so let's say you have a aerospace into mind, and in aerospace there are 4 subdivision. So let's say there is someone who is working into propulsion side. Okay, now he'll be just sending all the his resume to all those lab which is propulsion related. So it can be anywhere. So wherever he's wanted, he will be called. And now here comes that, what exactly job profile it will be, that will be discussed in the form of interview. So there's a task where it becomes harder and harder, because in PhD you did the same thing, right? while getting selected. So in postdoc again, yeah, there is an interview. Then for an assistant professor again there will be an interview. So my point being, you have to keep on trying, and eventually something will come out of it. And so there's no set pattern there's no set pattern in which you can just put into, okay, this is the kind of job, that kind of job. It's like open itself. You can, even there are students who leave first year of postdoc and they join as assistant professor. There are people who complete 2-3 years into it, like have a lot of experience as a working professional, and they join into some assistant professor. There are someone who kind of gives about 8-9 years into postdoc or being something called project associate or something like that. And their work is so great that they join directly as associate professor. Okay. And there are working professionals who go into research industries, and then finally when they will come out of it, the retirement age, and then they will be as a professor.
I've heard of that. Yeah. Actually, Komal was once telling me that in her university, NIT Nagpur, the people who were applying for assistant professor position all had like 3-4 postdocs from abroad. They had spent like years and years after their PhD, almost equal amount after their PhD. And then they're applying to NITs, right? And imagine if you are over there like one postdoc, right? That's what I get when you're saying that there's huge amount of competition, right? But what I wanted to get at, see, you did show me the ESL, I think. No, it wasn't ESL. What was
ESL.
Yeah. So IIT Bombay has ECell, and Madras has what? ECell. Madras also has something. Okay.
Actually, Madras, both have ECell. ECell name are, I think, same. So ECell is in which entrepreneurship cell, and in which academics and the entrepreneur thing. So in which the, for example, if you have completed your PhD and it's about something which can convert into a product. Now here comes the opportunity of a startup, and that is very huge because let's say it's a new thing, and just that now you have to be good at the thing which you are very worst at, the marketing, the thing where we kind of lack a huge, like, because we have never been to that thing, okay? We have never thought of selling a product. Why we came into research is we don't want to sell any product. So one day my professor say to me that, okay, you are doing the research, it's good and everything is very fine, you are going the right way, but you should know how to sell your research. And I was like, what? Like, why I have to sell my research? Okay. He said, then only people will buy it.
Because everything it's is like about making a Ferrari, not knowing how to sell it, right? I made a car better than Ferrari.
You just made a Ferrari.
But I don't know how to sell it.
Yeah. So it's like same thing that you do some beautiful work, but you don't have any application to it.
Yeah. It all comes together so at it some will be point or the other.
Forgotten, yeah.
Yeah, you have to know everything.
So do you remember your project in your BTEC you have done, right?
Yeah.
You have done a lot of beautiful projects.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was just at that time it was just going into it, what is research and about that, but just think about it, ki they are just left there only. So just imagine what PhD you have done and it's just left there only. So that becomes a problem in your mind, ki okay, I have done something but I couldn't convert into a product. Or product is a very vague term, but I will say, like, you couldn't that work is not further taken into the different dimensions. So that is the thing. So here comes the huge opportunities where ECell work in a conjunction where you set up a startup based on an idea, and that idea come from the PhD, like the topic of the PhD. So, yeah,
you brought a huge opportunity. Brought a new point. Like, yeah, PhD students can actually start a company. Agnikul is a great
example.
What
happened? You remember Agnikul is like, there are a lot of Indian startup, but where is the starting point is, I will say, for example, that my friend Pankhil Mishra, he had this idea that we will just go faster than light thing. And we actually went to ECell, like he went to ECell. At that time I was not knowing what he is working upon, but actually he was working this from past 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and he was having this idea. He's amassed a lot of knowledge. And that's why he can talk to a professor, a physics professor, like, who is working on dark energy, dark matter. Okay, and he's talking face to face to him about we can go faster than light. Before that, he went to ECell. He went to ECell and he asked, ki, I wanted to make a product which is faster than light. And nobody was laughing.
Nobody was laughing.
No, really, nobody was laughing there.
Yeah.
Because our institute is such that we are open to ideas. Okay, they were just see ki, okay, this is the product that you wanted to make, and so where is the proof? Okay, now here comes out, we don't have a proof. Okay, so we have to make a proof. So we have to see at the existing things, and then we have to work upon it so that we can prove it. Now come the finance. In the finance, we have to first persuade the people ki what is the use of it. Okay, let's say I say ki from, you can reach from point A to point B, anybody will buy it, right? Then we will say, okay, I need this and this, that. So we need money. So even Elon Musk will give money. Okay. And finally, we will be making that thing. Mm-hmm. So it comes from the idea and how to convert that idea into a product. So that is also is part of a PhD only. Like if you have done, if you know how to do that. So here comes, we have to actually sell your research. So that is the point.
yeah, that's a great point. But what I was actually getting into, let's just think a little bit less ambitious. Because the ECell and a lot of companies are actually attached, or at least the professors are in contact with a lot of companies in the industry. Because of those connections, don't the PhD students or people who get the PhD find it easy to get into the industry? Because I'm sure a lot of them would want to get into the industry, no?
Yeah. Because there are still fraction of people who don't want to go into academics,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to teach. So we have seen news about the flying cars, flying taxi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that is one company where it's all about PhD students and making a product out of it. Then we have Agnikul. Obviously, Agnikul has a bunch of PhD guys. So in these huge companies, the main thing is idea. Like once you have got that opportunity, like that platform, how you are getting the opportunity and using them. Because it's a very straightforward thing after that. And it's very defined in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was not telling about it. I was more talking about the PhD student, because we don't have a defined path as such. We have to do a lot of this and that. And then actually we have to sell our research. Okay. Because when we are selling our research, then only we are getting to the point where we can say to eCell, I want to kind of make this as a product. If you won't say anything, I think eCell won't know you. We wanted to do this. So like the resources will be wasted in that regard. But the thing is your PhD topic is converted into a product? Okay, now for me, it still is a process that I have to think about. So, and as this thing is already in thought of many PhD students, ki what I will do after PhD, whatever I'm doing can be converted into a product. Okay, it doesn't happen that easily. It seldom happens.
I think like anything else, when it comes to PhD, I think what you're trying to say, it is very individualistic. It's not like, okay, before getting into PhD, I can tell you, oh, these might be your options, which might be different when it comes to PhD in India compared to PhD abroad, but it's okay. That's the way the PhD works. And also what you're getting at is that it depends on how good you are. If you are good, you have multiple options. You can go do your postdoc in the top universities. You can join an industry, or you can start working towards startup, get some funding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have examples for all of them, right? Clears a lot of things out.
Yes.
It was a big question of mine as well. I'm sure that it was a big question of a lot of the viewers of the podcast as well.
So it can be part of a product. That's a sure thing.
Or it can be part of a DC Comics, man. Send your ideas to DC.
That was a thought I didn't have. Even that Batman comics, actually, I
get
can
employment
apply
straight
DC
from
comics.
DC. Maybe they'll give you the role of an actor, right? You are going to
act
in a
Marvel actor.
Movie. After,
like Indian guy.
Yeah, that Indian guy. You have to be something related to. Yeah. We don't have many superheroes, Indian superheroes. You make one, man. And also, like, DC does not have any
Indian
superhero, right? You are a big DC fan. Do they have even a single Indian superhero? Those racist people.
Actually, DC, I'm not DC fan. I'm like a lot of comics fan. Even Raj Comics, I am fan of. Indian comics. Have you heard of Nagraj?
Nagraj, Tiranga.
Yes, those.
Hell yeah.
Those. Actually, I used to draw those characters in my childhood.
And
I didn't know about DC.
Doberman. That was an Indian one as well. Doberman. He was a dog. A dog man, kind of. Yeah.
No, he was a Doga.
Doga, yeah, correct, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. So actually, those were the character which was my childhood character. And when I grew up, then only I get into, okay, those characters are based on that character.
Yeah,
DC movie.
What is Tiranga based off? Is he like Captain America?
Yeah, actually. He has a shield and everything.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
And he throw the shield in the same way.
what do you think about Nagraj?
Nagraj is a combination of Superman and Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, he used to have that S, right? Nagraj used to have that S.
But his hairstyle is unique. Okay, that is like the uniquest part of the Indian comic.
Hey, man,
so let me
pull something up. You should be able to see what I'm seeing. I'm sharing my screen with you. I used to read these comics when I was very young, and I forgot about it.
See, all these 90s kids have read this comic. Like,
all? Are you sure?
Right now, I think so. Because that was a time where we didn't have much social media or anything.
True.
It was just that thing which... Yes.
Look at that, those apps, man. Mr. Olympia level apps.
I was actually too much interested in drawing those apps.
Yeah. But how did you still turn out to be straight, man? Okay. So this is Tiranga. I want to see Doga. This, you like this app, right? We can share screen and stuff. By the way, yes, we can do that in Zoom as well. Yeah. Who is this?
Okay, so my time limit is gone. I think my
camera is gone.
Card slot is filled. Card slot is filled.
Can you change the card?
No, I don't have the other card.
Oh, don't worry about it. Then we are going to just have at least like a cell phone. Do you have a cell phone which you can use to record? Do you have a secondary cell phone?
Or I can just copy paste it, the card, and again.
No, it will take a lot of time. So we are going to just have faith on riverside.fm that it is recording, again, not sponsored. And we are just going to put the ending over here. We are going to close this podcast over here. And Anshuman, thank you for being over here after a long time. I don't even remember when was the last time you were on the podcast.
Actually, what happened like last, just previously I was too much busy because of COVID. I wanted to get level to my research. And I finally, because
your brother got married, right?
So then it was the point where I was too busy into a lot of things. And then research was there, which I was holding it for very long, and now finally I'm at a point where I can express myself and we can have more podcasts in future. And even
I really wanted to work upon this
concept of this nonlinear comics, so maybe you can help me on that. So yeah,
hey, you make a proper website. Okay. I'm going to drop that link down in the comments description box, but I'm giving you like 3-4 days. Get your shit together and make a good website. Go to Wix.com and it's super easy. Just go to blogs or something. Okay. You upload a PDF. And it's as simple as that, okay? And I'm going to put the link down in the comments because it was really fascinating, man. You are smart. So you can think far. Like, you can think like 4D chess. So it was really interesting. It would be a good story. if you actually start writing a story like that, like Batman figured out the randomness of Joker, right? Kind of, right? Okay, we are going to end it over here. Anshuman, thank you for being over here. Guys, thank you for you to be over here as well. I think that was wrong English. But thanks for being over here. Art Podcast is going to be coming out on a weekly basis. If you did not know, a new podcast, which is Hindi, which was actually an old podcast, which was Momentum Podcast, has its own new YouTube channel, own new Instagram page, professional. I'm running two different podcasts now, English and Hindi. And if you prefer English, tune in to Art. If you prefer Hindi, tune in to Momentum. If you prefer me, tune in to both. And we are going to end this. Say your goodbyes to Anshuman Mehta. I'll make sure he's back very soon. And he's a fascinating character, and I personally love talking to him about science stuff. So he's definitely going to be back soon. All right, Anshuman.
Go science stuff.
Yeah, happy to see you pursue a career that you always wanted to pursue. Mm-hmm. I know you for like 10 years now. I'm very happy that you're happy with your career, and keep it up. The first research paper, which was like conference level, is out now. I'm pretty sure you are working on the next one already. And there's more podcasts to come. All right, we are going to end this over here. See you guys next time. Till then, bye.